Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Off and running, hour two here of the Gulf Coast Bank and Trust Tiger Tailgating Show. I've got so many different banks that sponsor shows. The Gulf Coast Bank and Trust Tiger Tailgating Show in front of the Athletic Administration Building here on the campus of LSU, getting you set for the Tigers and the Hogs in Death Valley, 6 o'clock kickoff right here on WWL. Herb Tyler, also a.k.a. Tiger Claws, wearing the Tiger purple and gold Tiger Claws Santa Claus hat.
That's it. Yep, we good. That's Tiger Claws it is.
You've got like eight different personalities going. You're the maestro. You're playing the mute. You know, you're up there conducting. Yep.
Uh-huh.
And then you got the Santa Claus hat on and Herb Tyler, former LSU quarterback. And so you got a lot of things going on, Herb. And this campus is starting to swell a little bit in anticipation of LSU and Arkansas, even though the Tigers are favored by 44.5 points over Pig Suey, the Arkansas Razorbacks.
Well, I can tell you right now, the Pig Suey is going to get beaten by 44.5,
Pig Ooey.
I don't know. But anyway, I think that not only will we win this game outright like that, I think that we're going to make a statement defensively-wise. I mean, I think we're going to pitch out a shutout. That's what I'm going for. I hope that they can do it. Neil Jarvis was bringing up some really great points. And the fact of the matter is, it's something that you alluded to earlier, is, you know, are they just sitting back and watching with their popcorn and enjoying the offense and saying, wow, it was another record that we're going to break, and then but forget that we have a job to do? I don't think it's that. I think that, I think with this team, once again, I think they just, you know, we had younger guys that were out there last week making mistakes, not being in the right situations, and not making tackles. And I think that's it. And I think that's things that we can actually fix and make better.
28-17, Ohio State on top of Penn State. Under 5 minutes remaining in that ballgame, Ohio State just gave the ball back to Penn State. They're up 11, 3 minutes and 14 seconds remaining in that one. And Ohio State was favored by 19.5, but nonetheless, those are for odds makers and bookies. The players aren't going to care. Ohio State looks like they're going to pull away with a victory over Penn State at some point once that game closes. And let me tell you, because David Potter at Master Control asked a really good question. Will that if Ohio State doesn't cover and somehow LSU doesn't cover the 44.5 point spread, will the selection committee penalize them and drop them? And the answer to that is no. The selection committee does not pay attention to any of those spreads.
They'll keep them 1-2 as they are. Now, what they do pay attention to, though, is the eye test. How do they play in that game? So, if they don't cover, it won't. If they drop them, it won't be because they cover. They didn't cover. It'll be because they felt like they didn't play the same Ohio State offense or defense that they played throughout the year, and that Penn State really gave them all that they wanted. So, but look, this game is not over. We still got 5 minutes to go. Penn State can go up and score a touchdown, kick onside kick, score a touchdown, or kick onside kick, and then score a field goal. Field goal won't help them at this point.
But, well, it's 4th and 2 at the Penn State 42-yard line.
They got to get this first down. So
down by 11.
Look, at the end of the day, this is what we've been wanting. We've been wanting somebody. Ohio State to play someone, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so if they're showing the ability to be able to win, now they are at home, don't really have that much adversity. They're playing a Penn State who is good, but like you said, you don't think is a top five team. But at the end of the day, they're good enough to be a top eight team. So here we are. So, hopefully, I wanted Penn State to win, but I don't think they will. But at the end of the day, as long as LSU comes out and they are dominant on the field and show dominance on the field, I think the committee won't have any issues keeping them at number one.
Number 10, Minnesota topples Northwestern 38-22. Number 16, Notre Dame on top of Boston College 3-0. That one's in a first quarter score along with a final. Iowa, number 17. Iowa 19-10 over Illinois. Appalachian State just getting underway, number 24 ranked Appalachian State. In the second quarter, they lead Texas State 7-0. And Harvard and Yale. Harvard leads Yale 29-13 in an Ivy League showdown. That is a third quarter score as well. It's the Gulf Coast Bank and Trust Tiger Tailgating Show. Herb Tyler, Christian Garrick here on WWL. in front of the athletic administration building on the campus of LSU.
Yes, sir.
Getting you set for LSU and Arkansas coming up at 6 o'clock. Herb Tyler, Christian Garrick here with you. To the phones we go. Justin on line one. Go ahead, Justin. You're on WWL.
Hey, Christian and Herb. Thanks for taking my call. You know, I rang the phone off the hook. Your producer must be pulling his hair out.
I don't know.
Anyway, I don't know about Justin Jefferson, who shares my name. How's he doing? And is he going to be a big part of this game today?
Yeah, of course he's going to be a big part of this game. And I think he's doing great. I think he's playing himself into a very, very high draft pick because of his production. Look, Justin Jefferson's been a big part of this offense. Really, their most consistent threat, I think, through his time at LSU.
No, I mean, he was the number one receiver that they were going to earlier in this year, right? And last year, for sure. He's definitely established himself coming out of last year's season as the number one receiver. What happened, though, was that Terrence Marshall and Ja'Marr Chase ended up developing this season as well. So now you got three guys legitimately who can go first and second round all each one of them, you know. So Justin is a kid who was, I think he was a two-star or maybe not even ranked as a star player coming out of high school or whatever. But at the end of the day, you know, he's turned himself into a very marketable receiver, formidable in the ways that he catches the ball. He doesn't drop many passes at all. He's a real good route runner, and he's a great run after the catch guy as well.
Herb, you like fishing, man? You do much fishing?
Yeah, I do a lot of fishing.
At Rouse's?
At Rouse's, baby. I go to Lake Rouse's whenever I get a chance. My dad took me fishing a couple times when I was young, and all I did was fish. I never caught anything, so I didn't really like it. So I went with my cousin Albert. I know my brother Anthony is listening right now, so he can tell you. But I used to go fishing with my cousin Albert, and he would catch a 1,000 fish, right?
Yeah.
I'm in the same boat as him, and I can't catch none. So I decided to, if I go on the boat and I'm going fishing with you, I would be delegated to what? Making the sandwiches and giving everybody the drinks. That's it. I don't want a pole in my hand. I don't want nothing. When I get off the boat, I'm going straight to Rouse's, and I'm going to get me some salmon, and I'm going to get me some catfish, and then they're going to make it happen, okay?
Herb told me during a break that if Rouse's don't sell it, he's not eating
it. Yeah, I ain't eating it.
He won't eat a sockeye because Rouse's doesn't sell it.
No, that's a wild game fish. I don't eat that. I like my tamed fish from Rouse's. It tastes better.
I promise you, it's the Gulf Coast Bank and Trust Tiger Tailgating Show, not the food show with Tom Fitzmaurice. I can assure you of that. But when I heard Herb doesn't really fish and he goes and buys his fish, I just had to ask him about it.
Look, I got one of my good friends, Nicky Savoy. He's a great friend of mine, and he does sport fishing now. But he also does what do you call it? Where they take people out like a charter
guide.
Charterman, yeah, so he does that, man, and he always invites me to go, and I never go because I don't like that. I told him, I said, look, if you want to go fishing, just tell me what time you want to meet at Rouse's, and I'll be there, okay? That's it.
You got to give it another shot. It's really, really a fun activity.
There's nothing fun about it for me. I do not enjoy it whatsoever. I would rather be literally pushing my basket through the two doors that open up, and then go over there to the left side, and I got my man over there, what's his name? He's a writer anyway, but he sells fish and he writes books.
Sounds like you've had some pretty interesting conversations with the guy.
Does he never know what you talk about when you're waiting on your salmon to be weighed?
Wow. This is it's interesting.
It is what it is. I'm sorry.
It's not LSU Arkansas. It's a little fishing game report.
My brother just texted me. He said, I'm hungry right now.
With Herb Tyler. If Don Dubuque ever needs a fill-in for the fishing game report, you're the guy, man. You just stop all the guides, all the fishermen out there and say, quit wasting your time and just go and buy it.
Yeah, what are you waiting on the wind direction and whether the water's cold and what time of year it is and if the tide is up or down? Nobody ain't worried about all that. You know what happens? Rouse's is open from 9 to 10, and you can go get whatever you want, and they're ready to roll. I'm telling you.
Phone lines are open at 504-260-1870. Let's get back on track here.
I'm
LSU
sorry,
and Arkansas. No, I started the conversation. I'm not mad at nobody. I'm just trying to get us back on track. Will LSU cover the 44.5-point spread against Arkansas? That is our WWL Blue Runner Gumbo opinion poll online at WWL.com. You can cast your vote there or call us at 504-260-1870. Right now, 64% of those voting online are saying no. 36% are saying yes. They will cover the 44.5-point spread over Arkansas. And, again, as we've kind of gone through it, Arkansas is not very good, but no. This could be a huge day for Clyde Edwards-Helaire.
It could be. Oh, man, this could be the game that would actually catapult him into, like, first place of one of the prestigious running back awards at the end of the year. This could really help him. If he can get a 200-plus game today with maybe 3 touchdowns or something like that, that would really catapult him up there.
All right, checking in on Ohio State and Penn State. It's still 28-17. The Buckeyes over the Nittany Lions. We're at the 2-minute warning in the 2 minutes in the fourth quarter.
Penn State has the ball, too, right?
Yeah. Penn State has the football.
Second and 15?
Second and 18 from the Penn State 32-yard line, down 11. It would take a lot to come back and beat Ohio State, but nonetheless, Herb is pulling for the Nittany Lions.
I used to, growing up when I was young, for some reason I used to like those northern teams. Like, I love Notre Dame. I love Penn State. I like their uniforms and all that. So I used to watch Penn State a lot when they would play, and they was wear the all white, and I really liked that, because when I played at Edna Carr, we would wear all white all the time, and that was really sweet for us. I used to like that as well.
Man, don't get me started on Notre Dame. No, Notre Dame.
Nicky's calling me right now. He must be listening. Nicky, I can't answer right now, man. I'm on the radio live, baby. But I'll meet you at Rouse's at about 7:30.
He wants to take you fishing. And
I love you, Nicky. You know it, baby. You know I love you, brother.
Now, I mean, don't get me started on Notre Dame. Year in and year out, you talk about a team that's perennially overrated every year.
Well, you got to remember, when I liked them, they were actually backing up the numbers or the rankings that they had. I mean, they had great players at the time. Ricky Waters, the Bus, Tony Rice, Rocket Ishmael. I mean, I can go down the line. I mean, they had actually great talent, and I really, really wanted to go to Notre Dame.
Yeah, look, I get it. I know their past. I'm just saying, since the Lou Holtz era ended, that's been a program that's been historically overrated and disappointed year in and year out. I mean, it's almost like, fans, the national media, it's like Dallas, right? They want Dallas to be relevant, right? They want the New York teams to be relevant. They want Notre Dame to be relevant because of the cachet,
because and of 1920,
the
whatever,
attraction.
Right?
Yeah, I mean they have their own network. Yeah. They have their own audience. They could draw into that and tap into that. That's why they want them to be successful and be relevant.
How many championships did Lou Holtz win? Do you know?
I'd have to pull it up.
I think he won one. I think, and the only one he won out of all those years that he was there, I think he only won one. And that's the same thing you kind of see now with what's the coach's name there now? Brian Kelly. I should know his name because I had a friend of mine named Brian Kelly, and he used to sing in this group when I was in junior high. But anyway, he he does the same thing now. They're going to win 10 games every year. You know what I'm saying? They're going to be 10-2. They may be 9-3 on 1 year or whatever, but they're going to be 10-2 or 11-1, and maybe make the playoffs and lose in the playoffs. Which is not bad. That's not a bad deal. It's not like you're having bad seasons or anything like that. You just, when you hear Notre Dame, you expect them to win championships because people put them in that upper echelon of schools.
Yeah, he won one national title at Notre Dame in 1988.
There you go, 88. With Tony Rice, all those guys. Exactly. So that's it. So even with as great of a coach as he was, he could recruit. We still couldn't get over the top, if you will, you know, and win the championship game. So that's you know, it's tough, man. It's not easy an easy thing to do at all. That's why what Coach Saban has done over the past 10 years is so special. You know what I'm saying?
That's why it's
so special, because it's very difficult to do. And then you look at a Dabo Sweeney. You look at an Urban Meyer. These guys have found out that magical touch to do the same thing. So kudos to those. Now, we just hope that Coach O has that magical touch this year, and I think he does.
Speaking of Lou Holtz,
is he calling?
No.
Oh, okay.
Steve Court, former Saints offensive lineman.
Yes.
Played at Arkansas, ironically, and he coached. He was coached by Lou Holtz, and he's got a great story. So if you ever talk to Steve Court about Lou Holtz, just ask him the story about when he was drafted and then after he was interviewed and what Steve Court said about Arkansas that spun up Coach Lou Holtz a little bit. Just. I can't tell the story because I can't tell it as well as Steve Court can, but it's a funny story, and he'll tell it readily, and it's a good story.
Look, Nicky just texted me. He said, I better change that story or he's going to whip my you-know-what. Now, Nicky, if you know Nicky, Nicky is 6'7", 6'7½".
He played tight end?
Yeah, he played tight end with him and Dave LaFleur. Yep, they were tight ends. Yep, so had two of the best tight ends in the world, period. And so Nicky's like 6'7½" or something like that, 230, 240, probably bigger than that now. He's not touching me, man. Guess what? I love to go fishing with Nicky. Every time Nicky asks me to go fishing with him on his boat, I say, forget Rouses, and I go jump on his boat, and then we go out there, and we go catch nothing but fish, just so you
Smart
know.
Smart guy.
I changed my story, Nicky.
Yeah. If I was threatened by a 6'7" dude that's 230, I'd do the same thing. All right, we'll step away and come back. NFL and college football analyst Mike Natilier next here on the Gulf Coast Bank and Trust Tiger Tailgating Show on WWL. And we welcome in now NFL and college football analyst Mike Natilier. Mike's insights in today's game is brought to you by Thibodaux Regional Medical Center, keeping you safe in the game. Mike, we were kind of joking earlier, me and Herb, but kind of speaking the truth. Really, the only way LSU loses this game against Arkansas today is to literally not show up, like not go out there on the field. That's how superior they are in talent, how inferior Arkansas is ultimately in talent.
Yeah, also, too, it's a mindset. Man, look at this Arkansas team. They have no rudder at all on where they're going, who's the leader, who's not. I told this to Steve Court last week. I've never been around a situation where so much negativity when they first hired Chad Morris. Now, there's always going to be some in any hire. Somebody's got a complaint. But not to this level. I mean, people that were money people at Arkansas, people who donated a ton there, former players, you name it. None of them had anything good to say about Chad Morris. Or I shouldn't say none. It was real few. That told me he had a real short rope here. That whenever something was going to go bad, they were going to cut that, and he was out of there. He was not the guy for them, and they weren't going to cut him no slack. And so you got what you got right now as a team that just has no – they kind of just in the ocean. It just floating.
Meandering.
With nowhere to go. There's no destination for them anywhere. And, you know, if they're smart, they go to Memphis and hire Mike Newell as a coach.
I was going to ask you about that. What about Mike Leach?
Man, no. I don't see how Mike and that culture there at Arkansas would fit. I think Mike would like the job. Man, that puts him in a big high-profile position. Washington State, where they play those games like at 9:30, 10 o'clock at night. And he's a sound bite every time he opens his mouth. It would be certainly a big difference with him in the SEC. I think he would like that spot like he liked the Tennessee spot. They passed on him too for obvious reasons. I think Mike's the guy. He knows the area very well. He's shown he is a very good recruiter. He's got a very fertile mind for offense. And when Arkansas has been a good team, it's just not been guys from Arkansas because you can't win with just Arkansas guys. They've been able to go out into Texas and recruit well, the northern part of Louisiana and Mississippi. They can branch out in Tennessee. And they've always grabbed a couple guys from the New Orleans area. And they at one time recruited heavily out in the River Parish area for players. That has all kind of stopped. But that's all connections along the line. But I think Mike would be the right guy for that spot. And I think he would be well-liked by people in the Arkansas hierarchy that spend their money there. Because, listen, if you've ever been there recently, man, they have pumped some money into that program.
Yeah.
Man, their facilities are pretty doggone good, what they got there rolling. So, it's a tough spot. It really is. And to dig yourself out, and it's similar to Tennessee, it's to get yourself out of that hole that you've dug, because it's almost like quicksand. The more you fight it, the more you sink down into it. And the big part of it, and I always do this, I look at teams and how they produce players for the NFL. Because when Nick was here, I did some junkets with Saban, and one of the things he would always bring up, because I could do the speech as good as he could, because he'd say the same speech everywhere he went. It was all about recruit and develop players. That was a big part of it. R&D, recruit and develop players. You look at Arkansas over the last 3 years, they've put 8 players in the NFL. Alabama put 10 in one draft. They put 3 in 8 years. LSU's had 10 the last 2 years. And people were talking about, man, it's sort of a down trial deal at LSU right now. They put 10-2, but Alabama's put 10-1. Arkansas put 8 in 3 years. That's not going to win you a lot of games when that's who you have to play.
Yeah,
that's your opponents. Man, you better be really innovative as a coach. Listen, coaching does matter, but, man, give me players. They win a lot of games for you.
NFL and college football analyst Mike DeTillier here on the Gulf Coast Bank and Trust Tiger Tailgating Show. Mike, the LSU defense has been a bit of a sore subject, and at times has been, well, frankly, at times of playing a better team or better teams, you might be a liability, so to speak. But do you think that it's correctable, and do you think it'll be their eventual undoing if they don't fix things on defense?
I think you can get better, but as far as being a dominant defense, I'm going to say no, and the reasoning why is this team, and I can't put my finger on it, and I talked to Coach O about this yesterday. We were part of this LSU Tiger Gridiron Club function at noontime, that it's not just one thing. Like you said, if it was one thing, could be fixed. At times, it's players out of alignment. At times, it's missed tackles. At times, maybe just not being in the right spot to make a play. Sometimes it's not making the play when you have an opportunity. Sometimes it's mental mistakes. And he says it's a focus issue at times also. It's not talent, because are you going to tell me, because I've heard this, oh, overrated. Okay, so you're telling me that Delpit and Jacoby Stevens and Christian Fulton and Stingley and Jacob Phillips and Chaisson and Rashard Lawrence and Tyler Shelvin aren't NFL players? Now, most of them, well, I'm not telling you that. Well, then I've just named you off 9 of the 11 starters for LSU. So, Aranda is who he is as far as a defensive coordinator. There are just some years, for whatever reason, it doesn't all come together. And I really can't explain to you why it has not pieced together for this defense. Eventually, I think it's the big plays that bother me more than anything. There's inconsistencies. Why do you play so well in the half against Ole Miss and then play so poorly in the second half? Alabama, you played lights out in the first half against them, and in the second half you didn't. And I flipped the script against Florida. You didn't play well in the first half defensively, and yet in the second half you played real well. So we talking about like quarters and halves?
Yep.
And to me, that would all come down to focus issues completely, in that something's not quite right with that part of it, that for whatever reasons you got some mental breakdowns out on the field that's costing you. Because the big plays are the thing. You know, if they were going 14 plays and 83 yards, yeah. Oh, man, that's sort of a wear down. But it's the big plays, the big runs, the big passes downfield. That's more concerning to me when you're going to get in this series of SEC championship game and also into the Final Four, that could potentially cost you there. When your offense is scoring like the way they scored, you better strap it on is all I can tell you, because you better put some points up to beat this LSU team.
NFL and college football analyst Mike DeTillier. And Mike, look at the season Joe Burrow has had. How much more do you expect him to play in this game, in particular against Arkansas, if they get out to a huge first half lead?
Well, if they get to a big first half lead, I expect that you'll see a lot of Miles Brennan in the second half. I do think the Tua injury is going to have trickle down in college football. I think in the back of everybody's mind, their deal is, nope, that ain't happening to me. I'm pulling him. And so I think Ed would probably have a much quicker trigger to pull him today than he maybe had 2 weeks ago. I do think that Tua injury is, because it's fresh in your mind, that look what happened here. And do you want to be put in that spot? And so I think he's going to have a pretty quick hook. He's already said, we knew Deculus was going to miss some time. Delpit's been fighting the ankle injury all season long, along with the shoulder, and he got pulled. Tyron Davis Price also has been sort of nicked up. I think today you're going to see, while, you know, Clyde is who he is. I mean, he's been unbelievable this year for him. I think you're going to see a lot more of John Emery and Chris Curry, who has had two really good weeks of practice, and I think they want to get him in there. But I'm anxious to watch Maurice Hampton. Here was a guy that was probably the number one rated recruit in Tennessee, you know, in this last recruiting cycle. Because he played baseball and that specter was there that he might play Major League Baseball, he wasn't looked at by some people in the same light. But, man, he's a big-time player. He's smart. He's a ball hawk. And I love a guy who has played baseball at that can play it at that level. He's got eye-hand coordination I can't teach. Either you got it in baseball or you don't. I can't teach you to be that good to find the baseball or the football that quickly in flight. He needs to physically get stronger. But, man, he's a gifted guy. And also, too, he's got to get a little bit better on the communication skills when you play center field, like what Hampton's going to do for him. But, man, he's a real talent. And I'm anxious to watch him tonight to give him that type of extensive action. And also, along with Brennan and Curry and some of the younger guys, Ed has made the comment, because of the new rule, he can play those guys, you know, those few games. And I think if they get off to a big lead, you're going to see him empty the bench.
NFL and college football analyst Mike Dettillier, it's always a pleasure, man. Thanks.
Thanks a lot. Appreciate it, buddy.
Mike's insights into today's game brought to you by Thibodeau Regional Medical Center, keeping you safe in the game. Herb Tyler, Christian Garrick, phone lines are open at 504-260-1870, text 870-870. And Herb, he's right in a lot of ways, Mike is, in terms of you get out to a big lead here, you're not going to – you want to see your young guys. You want to get your young guys – some real game SEC type of environment experience.
Yeah, we talked about that earlier. And at the end of the day, it's one of those things where if you don't get them that opportunity, when will you get it for them, right?
Yeah.
This year, because I don't think you get it next week against Texas A&M. You definitely don't get it in a SEC championship, and definitely not in the playoffs. I don't see that. So this is the time. So if you can get the score to be somewhere around 28 or something like that in the first half, at the end of the first quarter. I'm sorry. And get those guys some really significant playing time in the second quarter, third quarter, and fourth quarter. And then it doesn't affect your red shirt at all, which is a great thing. I love that part about it. I know when I was in school, you could play up to the fourth game, right? You can play every game, 1, 2, 3, and 4, and then stop playing, and then you get red shirt. But now it's different. You can play any game. You just can't play no more than four games total. So I love it. I look forward to seeing those young guys too, because – you know, you look at the recruiting, you look at the star ratings and all this stuff and what people are saying about them and all of these things. Let's see you in action against an SEC foe, you know, prime time. Let's see what you do.
Herb Tyler, Christian Garrick, we'll step away here. We are in front of the Athletic Administration Building here on the campus of Louisiana State University. It is the Gulf Coast Bank and Trust Tiger Tailgating Show here on WWL.
Man, Christian, you almost got me in trouble, and I think you did get me in trouble with Nikki. So I have to apologize to Nikki again and tell him that – he's more than welcome to take me and you fishing.
I'll
anytime.
Go fishing with him.
I know you would. I can make the drinks for us, and then I can also make the sandwiches, okay?
I like it.
That's what I'm talking about.
I'm down for that.
There you go.
Just tell me when.
I'm ready when you
book
are.
Book the trip.
I'll
Marco.
Meet you guys at Rouse's at 7:30.
Marco on line one. Go ahead, Marco. You're on the Gulf Coast Bank and Trust Tiger Tailgating Show here on WWL.
Hey, how you doing, Herb? How you doing, Christian?
Hey, Marco.
Good, thank you.
Hey, I was watching just a little bit of I watched the first half of the Ohio State and Penn State game. Mm-hmm. And look, I saw the receivers from Penn State. There is no way those receivers come even close to any of the LSU receivers route running.
Right. They dropped so many balls in that first half. It was crazy, huh?
I know. I mean, LSU, man. LSU will, Jamar Chase with his size and speed. And Justin Jefferson, you know, the crispiness of his routes. Mm-hmm. They would tear him up. That would just, I mean, and the tight end, oh my gosh, it's just, you know, I don't think Ohio State just has a good defense, but I don't think they have the defense to keep up with LSU.
Look, I don't think there's too many defenses in the country that can, but the problem is that if you get in a shootout with Ohio State, they would welcome that. They want a shootout. And I don't like the idea of a shootout because it's the team with the ball last that's going to win that game, and it could very well end up being Ohio State.
I don't think Justin Fields can get in a shootout with Joe Burrow and win. I don't think so. Now, they do have Dobbins in the running back position for Ohio State who can run the ball well. And if we allowed them to gash us like we allowed Ole Miss last week, then, yeah, we'll get in a running shootout, if that makes sense, because they'll run the ball and we'll throw the ball. So, but at the end of the day, you're right. I don't think Ohio State has the DBs or the linebackers to play with our talent on offense. Now, they do have this young guy called Chase Young is his name. Now, he's a beast. He's a man. He's a man now. But at the end of the day, you can always, run at him, or you can throw the ball away from him, meaning you just – throw the ball on time, three-step drops.
Here's
like
where
that.
He would be neutralized, though. The ball comes out pretty quickly from Joe Burrow's
hands. Super fast.
So, like that'll help neutralize a pass rusher like him.
Yes.
So, and again, we're getting way ahead of ourselves, but it's the reality, because what LSU faces is likely Georgia in the SEC championship game, barring they don't stub their toe this week or next against Texas A&M, and then it's on to the playoffs. Even if they are number one and they fall to Georgia next in the SEC championship, they're going to be in the top four. That's just the way it's going to be.
Mm-hmm.
And Georgia's a defense that, man, Auburn's defense was really good. And LSU, they had some answers for LSU earlier this season. Georgia's defense overall, I think, is better than Auburn's. Auburn's defensive front is what caused problems for LSU.
Yeah.
As a whole, Georgia's got the better defense. It'll be fun in the SEC championship game. Should the Tigers get there.
It will, but I will say this. I think in the SEC championship game, they're going to be playing in a dome, which is a different place.
Sure.
Then we play Auburn. We play Auburn here, and it was raining and all this other stuff. It was a bad field conditioning type of day. But I think that changed if you play in the Georgia Dome or whatever, the Mercedes-Benz Dome or whatever it is.
Yeah, get them on that fast track. That'll benefit LSU, that's for sure. They're playing basketball on grass these days.
Absolutely.
It's up and down, up and down, up and down. And
yep.
LSU and Arkansas tonight at 6 p.m. in Death Valley. You'll hear it here right on WWL, or right here on WWL. Good job, Christian. Eventually you'll learn to talk. Herb Tyler, Christian Garrick. It's the Gulf Coast Bank and Trust Tiger Tailgating Show. You can jump in the conversation at 504-260-1870. You can also text us at 870-870. Coming up next hour, Jimmy Smith, publisher of TigerDetails.com.
Ouch.
Breaking down LSU. What happened? Nicky hit you?
Yeah, Nicky. I'm thinking about Nicky punching him in the face again.
Nicky Savoy, he came up, and I didn't realize how big of a human being that guy is.
I told you he was huge. That's why I had to apologize on air. That's my big brother, man. I love him to death. He knows that.
One more hour to go here on the Gulf Coast Bank and Trust Tiger Tailgating Show here on WWL.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.